If you're here with a Bible, that's a good thing to do. Get that out. If you don't have one, there's one right underneath the seat in front of you. If you have a device, you can flick that on. However you read the word, I want to encourage you. Let's open it up to Luke chapter 13. And on your seat, there is some inserts here. As we've been tracking together, as my wife had mentioned quickly, if you haven't been here in a while, maybe it's your first Sunday or you've missed a couple Sundays, we've been reading through. We're now on like the fifth insert of Lent as we're leading up to Easter, up to Palm Sunday, all that kind of stuff. We've just been reading through the gospel, so we'll be looking at one of those stories today. So I want to encourage you to do that. Last week we were praying for kind of the community services, the police and the fire department, all those kind of people, healthcare workers. And this week we're encouraging you to pray for our missionaries, those that we kind of support that are going around the world and presenting the gospel. So read along and pray along with us. That's exciting. Last week, we kind of wrestled through a little bit past halfway in our reading. So in Matthew chapter 13, there's just a couple things in there through 17. There's a couple things that I found interesting, like John the Baptist was beheaded. Like that's a serious story that's kind of, I want to say fun to read, but it is an interesting read. Jesus feeds 5,000 or 4,000, we would see there as well. And then Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. That's fun. And then in Mark, we would have read along that Jesus begins predicting his death. It's about to come. We're moving closer to Palm Sunday and to Easter Sunday. In Luke, which we are going to look at today, there's this story here that says, repent or perish. Like, that's pretty a harsh statement, and that's pretty bold. And, you know, I put that as my subheading for the online audience, you know, repent or perish. Like, ooh, that seems intense. So I want to break that apart. And then in John, if you were reading along, it was the children of Abraham. And I'm really a black and white guy like this. Or the children of the devil. You're just like, whoa. You know, it kind of gets your attention as you're reading through that. So we'll maybe preach that another time. We'll leave that one alone for this morning. But let's look at Luke chapter 13 and just read verses 1 to 5. Because there's two pieces to this. Some of your Bibles would have this. It would break it up. And there would be this reading of repent or perish. And there would be a parable about a fig tree. And for most Bibles, almost NIVs, it's one teaching. And so I want to look at those aspects. There's this about repenting, and then there's about, let me explain what that means in a parable. And that's a lot of fun because stories are great. So Luke chapter 13, verse 1 says, now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. That just sounds weird, but I'll explain that in a second. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this way? This is Jesus responding to that question. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will also perish. Or these 18 who died when the tower fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? Again, Jesus gives the answer to that. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will also perish. So there's two tragedies that have happened here. People have lost their lives, and Jesus is explaining what's happened here. Because there's this Jewish crowd listening. They had seen these people pass away, had seen these people killed, and they thought, oh, this is not good. Must be something going on there. So the first one is Pilate. He's the Roman governor of Judah at that time. And some Galileans were at the temple sacrificing to their god. And the Roman soldiers showed up, and they actually killed some of them. And they kind of executed them in a sense. And so there's this mixing, we say, you know, of the sacrifice, and then there's a mixing of the blood of these Galilean people. So that's the first thought. And the second question that came to their mind, because people were dying off, is there was this collapse. A tower had fallen on some Jerusalem citizens. And some Jews thought that because the victims of these tragedies met such a terrible death, they must be, like, worse sinners than I. All those guys are bad sinners, right? They deserve that. And I love the contrast here. It's so important for us is that the Jewish nation, so God's chosen people, died in a very tragic way. And then some regular Jerusalem people, some regular Gentile people, like kind of like you and I. I love how God captures both of that. We don't just think, oh, it's only God's nation that's getting judged. No, everyone will get judged. But so he can clarify that. They didn't die because they were bad sinners. I think often we think that you know, maybe because of my past or maybe something I've done, oh, there's some consequences. You are deadly accurate with that. There is consequences for our decisions, but not a godly judgment for our decisions right now. There will be. You will be held accountable. But seriously, if we made a sin and God judged us for it, like we find in the Old Testament, earth swallowed people up. People touched things and they died. You and I'm not saying get away with sin, but we're not judged for it right now. It is coming. Jesus is withholding that. I want to explain that to you in the parable in just a moment. But sometimes we get so afraid of that. You know, we would read that in Job, right? Oh, Job, you idiot. You know, that's why you've lost your family and your wife, because you're a sinner. That's not the answer. You know, when we think about that for other people, we think, okay, that, you know, we might think that way, like, oh, maybe they are bad, and that's the result they get. Maybe his thyroid is messed up, poor pastor, because he's got some unforgiven sin or something, right? That's just not the truth. But we can think about that for other people, but I'm telling you, when it comes knocking on your door one day, and something bad happens to you, and life isn't going the way you planned, don't look to blame something for that. We're in a fallen world, and things happen every single day, and sometimes it knocks on your door, and sometimes it knocks on your neighbor's door. There's not judgment. God's not judging you for that. It's just the world that we live in. I just want to make sure that's clear. Don't overthink that. If we look back in Luke to chapter 3, and we're going back and looking at some stories we already read through, but in Luke chapter 3, Jesus is explaining something. There's this explanation. John the Baptist is preparing the way for Jesus, and he makes this statement. And all mankind, in verse 6 of chapter 3, will see God's salvation. Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came to bring us salvation. But watch what else it goes on to say. This is so good. This will speak into the parable we're about to read. In verse 7, John said that to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you broad bunch of vipers. That's not what I want to refer to, but you warned you to flee from the coming wrath. Here we go, verse 8. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. He said, get repentance, repent. Okay, well, what would that look like? Maybe producing fruit could be a result of that if we repent. And don't begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God could raise up children for Abraham. God can produce any kind of children, but watch what he goes on to say in verse 9. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that doesn't produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. This parable will speak to that in just a moment. But this is for you and I. If we're bad, if we think that we've done something wrong, we realize that we're sinners, we should really be cut down, it's going to say in this parable in just a moment, because that's the results that we get from our decisions. But we see clearly here what has to happen, that we need to repent or we will be cut down. So let me just explain that to you just a little bit more here. Because we see a lot of parables at this point as we read through the Gospels. Again, next week will be Palm Sunday, the week after will be Easter Sunday. Jesus is speaking clearly and explaining the teaching in the parable as well. But the first reading we see here is repent or you're going to get cut down. Now, for some of us, we need to hear it that way. Some of us are black and white people. We're like, just give it to me straight, Pastor. Quit cutting around the bushes. Just call it to me and just say it like it is, right? So some of us need that and we get that. And some of us like the story. You know, explain it to me. Give it to me in, you know, a story form so I can understand what you're saying. I understand I need to repent, but let me explain it to you in detail. So this is where we're going to get to the parable, which is the fun part. Because I like story. I black and white. Oh, black and white hurts. Ouch, you know, like, whew, Lord, slow down there, you know. But in a story form, then, I feel it, Lord. I see, oh, yeah, there it is. There's a sweet spot. I get it now. So we see this in Luke chapter 13, verse 6. We're going to read the parable here that's going to explain all this stuff. Verse 6, then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard for 3 years, now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. So remember when Jesus was speaking to the crowd at that time, most of these people would have understood farming terms. They would have understood fruit trees and all that works. So when we read that, he's explaining something so that they can comprehend. Now, when I read that, honestly, I'm like, I don't understand all that fruiting and fertilizing and digging around. And what's all that nonsense about? But let me kind of break it down for you. So in verse 6 again, let's understand what we're visualizing here. It's a parable. It's a story. We've got to be part of the story. So then he told him this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in a vineyard and went to look for fruit on it. Didn't find any. So a man. This man is God. So God, he had a fig tree. And this fig tree is representing the Jewish nation or a Gentile nation that's been grafted in. Just represents people. He planted it, God, in his vineyard. And he's seeking fruit from his vineyard. Like anyone would. If you plant a bunch of fruit trees, you're going to expect some fruit from it. And who takes care of the vineyard but the Lord Jesus Christ? So if we kind of understand that as a concept here, let's start breaking that down. So again, whose vineyard is it? God owns the vineyard, and God's people occupy the vineyard. The vineyard are individual trees, individual fruit trees, which it represents you and I, individual people in God's vineyard. And who cares for this church? Who cares for that vineyard but Jesus Christ? Okay, so we've got a bit of a foundation if we can understand. Now let's move forward so we understand where we're going to go. Anyone who has fruit trees knows several things need to occur. You got to water that thing, you got to fertilize it, you got to prune it, and you got to pollinate it sometimes. It's the same for you and I, because it's a parable trying to teach something to you and I. What does that mean? It's the same thing. As we grow, we need to be watered. We need to be watered with the living word of God. That's what gives us life. Not this. I actually need some water. Actually, I am kind of thirsty. Not this. This does help us. But the true word. We need to be watered with God's word. We come here today to hear God's word. We listen to God's word as it's spoken. We need to be fertilized. And how do we get fertilized? We get fertilized as we pray, as we study the Bible, as we have our devotion time, as we come to church. This is what gives us fertilizer. I'm almost at that place with my yard where I got to get this thatching machine, get all that honking moss out of there. It was wet these last couple of years. Get all that junk out of there and put some fertilizer so the grass can grow. There's all that moss, it's not going to grow very well. So I got to get all that stuff out of the way so that the grass can grow and to thrive. Then it needs to be pruned. This fruit tree needs pruning. And if you let a fruit tree just go, you're going to have not the greatest fruit. You're going to have too much. It's not going to be good or whatever you want to say. So you got to prune it. So what is pruning like? Pruning is like you need shears, man. Like sometimes you're, oh my God, you need a chainsaw on that. You know, take a, ouch. Like if God, that's what he's trying to say to us personally. Like God needs to take a chainsaw sometimes and cut some things out of your life. Holy smokes, Lord, slow down. You know, like this is painful, this kind of pruning you're talking about here. But if we're going to get closer and as we grow and mature in the Lord, he's got to do some work. And sometimes it might hurt a little bit, but that's part of the testing that we need to go through so that we can produce more fruit and good fruit. And we see that in other stories. It's a great story. Here's the problem that we run into sometimes. When our roots go down and attach themselves to the wrong kind of water, we could say, or the wrong kind of things, we can attach ourselves to like pride or greed or dishonesty. We get worried or anxiety. We got addictions. Those roots are attached to the wrong things, ungodly things. And what naturally happens, and we experienced this the other day, your roots begin to rot and then your leaves start turning brown. Have you ever had a plant like that or something like that? You're like, what's wrong with this plant? You know, you're watering the heck out of the thing, but the roots are rotten. And so the leaves begin to get brown and there's no fruit anymore. And that's a problem. So we've got to be free of those things. We've got to not attach ourselves to those things. Sometimes we think that I'm not doing very well. You know, you're looking at all kinds of symptoms or all kinds of reasons why you're not doing well, but you forget what you're attached to, what you're thinking about, what you expose into your mind, into your eyes. Those kind of things aren't going to produce good fruit. You've got to be free of that. And that's the teaching here is you've got to repent of those things and get close to God. So in verse 7, he'll dissect this a little bit more. And he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Now, many commentators refer to this. I'm not going to say that this is spot on. I do believe that this sounds right. I mean, it preaches nicely, but for 3 years, Jesus did ministry. So God is referring to this idea, like I've been coming here to see what Jesus, you know, kind of fruit that Jesus is accomplishing here. And if it's not good fruit, then cut it down. Get rid of it. Because it goes on to say, and this makes sense here in verse 8, "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it." Jesus was around for a bit longer as well. You know, God, Jesus said, just give it a bit more time. Let's not be in a rush to cut it down. Oh, that's our Jesus. Isn't that just so good? I'm going to keep going on that in just a second. Two things happen here about digging around and fertilizing. So again, I don't know this, but I'm going to tell you what I've learned. He wants to dig around so that we can retain more water, more of his word. As a fruit tree, you know, as it gets older and the ground gets tougher and stronger, you actually have to kind of, you know, dig it up a bit so that more water can sit there so that it can grow better. And the second thing is, in just a second, sorry, I forgot, I want to tell you the story, is that when Omley and I, last year, we were like, that's a beautiful yard, but it needs a fruit tree in it. Let's maybe get a cherry tree. And we went there and looked at it, and we talked about it and talked to the lady. She said, the only way this thing will die, don't return it because it dies. It's because you underwatered it. When you put a fruit tree in, she said, this cherry tree, she said, take your garden hose for 30 minutes on full blast and just stick it right at the roots and then go for coffee. And I'm thinking, we're going to kill the thing. We're going to just drown this tree. But a fruit tree actually needs lots of water. You can't overwater it. And so I thought that was kind of cool to think about because it's the same here. God kind of digs you up a bit and wants to overwater you with his word so that you can, again, retain more. We just need tons of that. And the second thing is, again, to fertilize it. He just wants to fertilize you with his Holy Spirit. You know, as you retain his word, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and helps you understand his word. Isn't that just a great imagery? I love that part of the story. Again, this fig tree, it represents, at that time, the Jewish nation or Gentiles, or really represents you and I, God the owner, and Jesus Christ the vineyard, the vine dresser, sorry. The fig tree is condemned for its fruitlessness. It's like, we got to get rid of this tree, man. But the vine dresser asks for more time in order that it might bear fruit one day. If not, then for sure, we should just cut it down. But I love how the vine dresser is like, let's just give it another season. Let's just give it a bit more time. Here's another thought around that idea. It's well known that trees are sometimes preserved. You know, if you've got a plant in your yard, you don't usually dig it up after it doesn't, you know, it's not doing so good this year. You go, oh, let's just pray over it. Let's just give it another chance, right? Before you totally throw it away, right? Like, I paid money for this thing, for crying out loud. Let's just kind of give it some more fertilizer. Let's just give it a second chance. And see, Jesus, the vine dresser, is the same way. If you and I are going through trials and we're not producing, God wants to try and come up with a recipe to help you succeed. And he says, let's give him more time. Let's let him, you know, let's help him out. And we think sometimes when we see people kind of struggling along, we're thinking, oh, Lord, why don't you just like give him, you know, shake him up, get him saved, get that sinner on the right track. You know, what are you doing, Lord? Why are you taking so long? But the Lord knows exactly what that person needs, exactly when they need to hear it, so that they can come to him, and it might take a lifetime. But that's okay. We're here. We're going to support them, and we're going to be supportive of what God is doing in each and every person. Here's like a couple more thoughts here. Each tree needs to be pruned and fertilized and cared for in a way that gives it the best possible chance to produce fruit. Because again, God knows the best way for each of us to find faith. It's not a formula. There isn't a certain, you know, way. There isn't a certain time in that. Well, you know, when you're 16, it will happen. Or when you're, you know, when you've learned enough, or when you've given enough, or you've served enough. There's no formula. And each person is different. And so we got to be sensitive to that. And we just pray into that. God, what do you want to do? Because we've got lots of time, God is saying to them. And when I read that story, I'm so thankful. I've been wanting to share this with you. And I just, you know, I can't just share something with you unless it makes sense, right? So this has been on my heart for a long time, and I just resonate with this so deeply, and I'm just so thankful to God for stories like that. Jesus says, give them a bit more time, because we just don't know when they'll turn. We don't know when they'll get saved. So every minute of every day that Jesus hasn't come back a second time, this is another opportunity for somebody to get saved, for crying out loud. So we thank God for that. But I had to go to Prince Rupert a couple weekends ago. And so when I look at my yearbook here, and right in the middle, is, faces of all my friends that I graduated with. And unfortunately, when I flip through on almost every page, I can see somebody that's not here anymore. We just grew up a little bit crazy, and I don't know if it was just a certain thing going on at that time of life, but it's just hard to see that. And so another one of our friends kind of passed away, unfortunately. And when I went to visit them, I was able to share what's going on. And you know, when you haven't seen somebody in 25 years or more, they're like, so where do you live? And you know, you're married and you got kids and you know, what do you do for a living and all that kind of stuff. And I remember just having this opportunity to share with them. And I really wish I could have taken my phone out because I wanted to share that with you, that thought with you, because you know, how you doing, da-da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, I'm a pastor now. No way. You're lying, you know. You're pulling my leg. And like every time I was like, oh, I just wanted to kind of like just hit record, you know. Okay, watch this. You know, what are you, you know. But because of this right here, this is my yearbook, and it's hard to read there. It's all fuzzy. It's awesome. But there's a list of all the graduating kids, like most talented, you know, nicest looking, best hair. Likely to go to jail. What the heck, man? Lord, have mercy, you know. And I didn't show that to you so you could use Robbie. Yeah, get it off there, Chris, before they see that. But it was a unfruitful tree for 23 years. Backslidden sinner of sinners. I honestly felt like I was like Satan's son. I was just so bad and had so many evil thoughts. And I remember just God for 23 years, he said, give him a bit more time. I got a plan here. And I'm going to bring him around. It's going to take some work. We're going to have to dig that ground up pretty hard. It was, you got to dig a big hole for me. But anyways, you know, God was so patient. And so when I read this story, you cannot sit here today or listen online and ever say, I am too far gone. There's no hope. It's been, you know, it's just been, I've done too much. That's impossible. That's not biblical. That's your own understanding or the devil trying to feed you that. So you can't think that way. When we come and take communion, now understand communion is something that we're getting towards Easter, and there's the cross, and I understand that. But we remember what he did for us, so we have salvation. I understand that. That's the basics of it. But it goes a step further in my mind when I think about it. I think about Jesus is not done. I do remember that he died on the cross. He went to heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. I get that. But he's up there interceding on our behalf, like the vine dresser saying, just give him a bit more time, God. You know, I'm sure Jesus is like, oh, send me down there and let's just clean this place up. But I'm sure he's also thinking, God, you know what's best. And I'm going to intercede. I'm going to keep interceding on their behalf. Just give him a bit more time. So when I come and take communion, I thank God that he's done something, but I thank God that he's still doing something, that he's still interceding for each person. So I don't know who you know that's not saved, maybe even here today, or you're listening online, but Jesus is pursuing you all the time. Jesus, God gave up his son for you because he loves you, and he continues to love you each and every moment of every day because he's sitting there saying, oh God, just, you know what they need. Give them the stuff that they need to get saved. Oh, thank you, God. I just love that thought. That's the whole thing I wanted to say to you today, and we've said it, but I got more I want to say. I just want to share a couple more things with you. Let's close it off here. In verse 9, though, it says, if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Again, we know our decisions, our sins, we should be cut down. We should be cut off. If you got a nice big vineyard, you got lots of fruit trees, you're like, what's wrong with this tree over here? Leaves are brown, not producing any fruit. Get rid of that thing. We deserve that. But we know that Jesus died so we don't end up there. We get saved because we repent and we get to know him. But here's the important thing, and I felt this way for so many years. You may feel that you failed God and that you should be cut off. I felt that way for sure. I felt like I'm not worthy. I remember thinking about this last night, and I actually lost sleep just thinking about these things. I remember the things, and I won't share them with you because I don't think that's important. But I just remember like doing things that, and you know, just so crazy and evil. And I just thought, because I don't care. Because I feel like I've failed in everything I've done. And I feel like I've let everyone down that I should care for. I feel like I've hurt everybody that I've interacted with in my life. So I do these things because I don't care anymore. Because I feel like I've failed. I feel like a failure. And we just listen to that voice. And that's so opposite of what God is like, isn't it? We feel like we've sinned and we just can't get free. And God here, Jesus, wants to explain something before he goes to the cross to people. He wants to make it really, really clear. Let me help you understand who I am. I'm going to go to, he predicts his death. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to die. You're going to have salvation. You're going to have freedom. But then, let me help you understand how I think about you all the time. I intercede on your behalf. Isn't that just a great thought? And some of us have felt this. You know, we're just, I've said that sinner's prayer, but it seems dry now. I remember when I used to have passion for this thing. I used to read my Bible, but I don't know where that passion's gone. You know, stuff in my life has happened. Curveballs have come at me, and I don't know where to turn anymore. And I want to get my life straightened out and come back to church and come back to God, but I just feel like I'm so broken. And I feel like such a failure, and I don't know what that looks like. And then you hear the story. Oh, man. Then you hear my story, and you're like, oh, my gosh, Pastor, I don't know why you have a job. I'm joking. But, you know, you're just like, oh, God has grace, and he has mercy, right? And we think about that thought. It's not about doing anything for God. It's about giving your heart to God. That's it. You give your heart to God, the rest will take care of itself if you focus on that. It's the most important decision you can make right now is to give whatever you have left of your life. If you feel like, man, I'm damaged goods. I've just messed up enough. If you just give whatever you think you have left to God, he'll do something miraculous with it. He'll do something spectacular with it. He'll do something just beyond the ordinary. I know, and I'm being really transparent right now. Let me share part of that thought with you is that I failed grade 3. I really struggled to read and write most of my life. And you want to say dyslexia or whatever you want to say. And you guys feel that sometimes when I'm struggling reading or I'm struggling with something. But I was so scared to stand in front of people. I was so ashamed. I just felt so foolish and ignorant and stupid. The only reason I'm here right now is because I gave my life to God. I'm not anything more than just a sinner who loves Jesus. That's it. And God takes all that mess and he says, I want to make something of that guy. Because, again, he repented. He gave his life to me. So let me explain it this way. Just one more thought here. Well, actually, I have a lot of thoughts here. I apologize. But we'll just keep going. We were in Luke chapter 23. We're going to skip right ahead, though. We don't want to ruin Palm Sunday or Easter Sunday. But I do want to just share this one thought with you. Jesus hanging on the cross. He's got sinners on both sides of him. And we've read this story before, but let me just kind of give it some fresh eyes. Luke chapter 23, jumping in verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. Man, that's not a good thing to do. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and save us. Verse 40, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since we are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man's done nothing wrong. You and I deserve death. You and I deserve to be cut off. You and I deserve to be thrown out of the vineyard because of our decisions. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all he did was repent. Just like that. His whole life, he was a sinner. His whole life, he misused the dirt. His whole life, he should have been thrown out. But at the very end of his life, he gave his life to Christ and he repented. And Jesus said to this, Jesus answered him, tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. Because he repented. Because he got his life right with Christ. He didn't do anything else. He didn't clean up his act, get off the cross, you know, go back to work, you know, say sorry, pay all the things he did wrong, or forgive all those people that, you know, whatever. All he did was repent, gave his heart to the Lord. The rest is history. That's the same for you and I. It's the same thing every time. It's nothing more, it's nothing less, and don't ever spin it in any other way. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus is asking us to do this morning. As criminals deserve to be hung on the cross for their sins. This tree was a bad tree. It was a waste of soil. But Jesus said, oh, just give him a bit more time. I got lots of fertilizer. I got backhoes to dig things up with, right? Give them some more time, Lord. Let me close our time together and just pray for us. Father, we thank you. Oh, I don't even think thank you is a good enough word to say thank you for your word. That's living, it's active, it speaks to us, it convicts us and shows us the right way to go. And God, I just thank you that no one is ever too far gone in your eyes. There's no one that is out of your reach. So we just commit ourselves to you today. Father, for those that needed to hear today, we thank you for ministering to them. For those that need to share that thought with somebody else, I pray that they would be given those divine appointments and they would just share it boldly with them. And we just give you our day in this moment in Jesus' name. Amen.